Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Miss Cyanide, and I welcome you to Juggalo Rider Radio. Now, here's your host, Havoc and Ghetto G.
What's good, motherfuckers? Welcome to Juggalo Rider Radio with your host, Havoc, co-host Ghetto G. Ghetto G is going to be calling in here right now, and I'm going to be calling in Jay, of course, Flaw. So here we go with part two of Flaw interview. Last week, last time things, didn't work out properly. Jay got mixed up, and lost track of time. So let me get him called in here. See. And then we get this shit underway. All right, here we go.
Hello?
Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
Hey, what's good, man? It's Havoc of Juggalo Rider Radio.
How's it going, man? Got Ryan and Lance with me.
What's up, bud?
What's going on, man? So first off, I'd definitely like to welcome you guys to Juggalo Rider Radio.
Excellent. Thank you.
Now, all right, so my first question for you guys is, how did the band Flaw come together?
Originally?
Yeah.
Bowles and I initially met from an ad in a local Louisville music magazine. We got together, started writing the first night, and the rest of the band came in, and that was sort of the initiation.
Hell yeah, man. So what was the... initiation.
Sorry, what was that?
I said, so my question for you guys is, how did the band, get its name originally?
Originally it was F. Law. It was Fuck Law. We pulled that quick. We just decided it wasn't what we wanted to go for. And just went with Flaw. Not an enormous amount of meaning, behind it initially. I think with band names, people hear the music and they put character to the name for you.
Hell yeah! That's what's up. Now, of course, for those who don't know, you guys actually got formed second stage of Ozfest back in 2002.
Yep.
Now, for you guys, to be able to, perform on a stage such as Ozfest, what was it like? You guys to be able to perform on Ozfest, what was it like for you guys?
It was an incredible experience from what I can remember. That was many bowls and beers ago, about 12 years.
Hell yeah. So, and of course, for those who don't know, you guys actually got back together back in 2006.
2007,
actually. 2007, yeah. Okay. What made you guys decide, to, reform and everything?
Well, we were just, at the time, it wasn't the full band, so it never quite worked out, but some of us wanted to play, so we did it.
Oh yeah.
Well, over the years, so it's just, you know, without the original members, it's never really the same.
Yeah, that's true. I definitely agree with you on that one. Now, of course, you guys are in the middle of actually working on your next album as well, too, right?
Yep, as we speak.
We're actually tracking out music right now.
Right.
Now, will there be a name for the new album?
Not as of yet.
Now, all right. So my question for you guys is, you know, like what, like, you know, like what was the, like what made you guys, you know, decide, you know, to write the album American Arrogance?
What was that? What was the initial part of that question?
What made you guys, you know, to do like, do a album such like American Arrogance?
At the time, the writing style was a little bit different. It was a little more, I guess, hip hop oriented with a lot of the groove, and American Arrogance was kind of the album that sort of set the tone for what our bass sound would be. But as far as the music on American Arrogance, it was just a compilation, 2 or 3 years of you know, putting stuff initially together.
Hell yeah! Now, of course, then you like you guys released the EP Drama back in 2000, and then following that, of course, you know, like in 2001, you released Through the Eyes. What made you guys decide to put out the EP Drama followed by Through the Eyes?
Drama at a local studio in our hometown, and that's the one that kind of got the radio and the record people interested. That's what led to Through the Eyes getting discovered, you know, and signing the record deal.
Hell yeah!
And then a few of the songs off of that ended up making their way on Through the Eyes, you know, modified versions of them. But a couple of the songs, I think, ended up, you know, it did end up carrying forward.
Yeah, I noticed that. I noticed, from Drama, you guys actually put Only the Strong and Payback up on Through the Eyes, which is actually dope as I hope. Because honestly, off of that album, those are actually two of my favorite tracks. But I'd have to say, off of Drama, I think the one track that I actually really relate to, and I think a lot of fans probably definitely relate to those who have actually heard the track, would be actually Away.
That's actually on the European album.
Yeah, we tracked that for the Through the Eyes session. It just ended up on the European release and not on the American release.
Bonus track.
Hell yeah! So for the track Away, you know, what was the main meaning like behind that track for you guys personally?
Honestly, that's more of a Chris, you know, more of a Vols question, who's actually, he's in a different state working on vocals for the song because we send them to him right now. Away was actually written the night that Chris and I got together. I had some junk that I had been working on to put together, you know, a different project. We put together Away and Inner Strength that first night we met. But as far as the meaning behind it, that's more of a Vols question.
Okay. All right. Yeah, this is actually one of our most random questions that we love asking people that come through up on here. And we get like different answers for this question, but if we were to get you guys high, give you $75 and put you in a Walmart with no food and no drinks, what would you buy?
Matchsticks, condoms, razor blades, and I don't know.
Wet nap, baby powder,
Vaseline,
a sleeping bag,
a self-help book.
Phone charger, so I get one of those.
Some batteries, some Sharpies.
Oh, and a little blow-up swimming pool.
Hell yeah.
Oh, nah. Nah, that sounds like a 40.
Ghetto, man, do you have to ask these guys?
Man, I don't know how far are we into this.
We actually just started, man.
Well, how many questions you pop off?
Popped up about, say, about 4 or 5 maybe so far.
Let's see.
Who's on the phone now? Who the hell's this?
That would be my co-host, Ghetto G.
How's it going?
How's it going, guys? Going all right over this way.
We'd like to thank you for having us.
Anytime.
Let's start it off with this. What would you say your favorite thing to do is when you guys aren't making music?
Different for all of us, probably. I'd say wasting time on a computer.
Yeah, I say internet porn.
I think we could all relate to these answers.
I play a lot of video games. I don't know what the rest of the guys do. Lately, we haven't had a minute where we weren't around each other working on new material. It's kind of been 7 days a week until our eyes and brains won't handle it anymore right now.
Well, how's that going?
Great. We're hoping to have 18, 20 songs by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's 8.
All right. So, I got you guys, who would you say, like was your main influence that made you want to pick up a guitar or even a mic and just start writing and become a band and get into music?
Metallica. Yeah, Metallica for me. Metallica, Megadeth.
Oreanos. Brett Michaels.
Nice.
Alanis Morissette. Oh man, Pantera.
Yep.
Yeah, that's definitely what's up.
For all you fucking kids out there who have forgotten about that shit.
Yeah, man, it seems like nowadays, like a lot of fans out there, have forgotten about, the likes of Pantera, Metallica, even Ozzy lately.
It's these hipsters. We gotta get enough anti. Never mind.
It is unfortunate.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one. Now I got you guys. Out of all the tours you guys have been a part of, whether it been Ozfest or any other tours in the past or that you guys have done, which tour would you guys say has been your most favorite tour to be on and why?
Mine's probably Seven Dust touring. They were so cool.
Say the same.
Shows were getting big at the time. We were crowds would, you know, turn on to us. It's good times all around. Living that rock and roll lifestyle, partying on the bus.
Hell yeah, that's what's up right there. Now, if you guys could, if you guys could perform, or, you know, to work with any artist, you know, whether it be a band or, like, you know, like a rapper, who would it be and why?
We could tour with any band or rapper, is that what you said?
Work with.
Oh, work with? I'm not sure.
Is that what you said, if you could work with any band or rapper?
It could be anybody, dead or alive, even.
Yeah, exactly.
I like to sit down with one-on-one with Jimi Hendrix. Come on in.
See, is that person all right, man? Sounds like they're dying over there.
That's Lance for the record.
Oh, all right, because I just hear somebody coughing.
All right, babe.
That's Ryan coughing.
Got this awesome Ohio Valley allergies out here, buddy.
No, that's all right.
That's all good, man. All right, if you guys can, you know, if you guys could do, like, a cover track of any, you know, from, like, any band in the past, and remake as your own, what track would you guys choose and why?
We're all going to have different answers for that, probably, I'm sure.
Choose one.
That's tough talk. I was never really a fan of bands that did cover songs. I don't know why, but I never really liked that.
I agree with that.
Maybe a Journey cover.
Maybe, yeah, something good, though. Something good and classic, everybody knows.
Hell yeah. Now, of course, and I'm pretty sure my co-host Gil Jesus knows, but... back in, like, mid-2012, you guys actually released a DVD, to go with the fourth studio album, along with the EP.
I wasn't aware of that. A DVD?
I guess it was, like, with you guys, He released a DVD back in mid-2012.
I don't recall, my friend.
I'm not aware of that. I have to see it.
I mean, it was like an online compilation, or?
I guess Vol's, like, announced that, you know, that,
I mean, there's been talk a few times in the past of doing something like that, but I'm not sure of ever hearing of anything actually.
If that's out there, we're not getting paid for that.
Yeah, somebody owes you guys some money.
And we've talked about on this next release doing a live DVD, something like that, but right now it's we sort of jumped into the fire with both feet. We decided to do this and do it for real, you know, not, you know, a sort of one-off reunion, actually to, you know, reform and try to make good on what we intended to make good on the first time. And so it's right now it's just jumping in and trying to get everything back up and moving, enough material ready to release a new album, first quarter of next year.
Hell yeah. And now, of course, I'm sure, a lot of people, I've been asking you guys about this, I was just curious about this. You guys started touring in back in December 2012 with Andy Paul up in the Clear. but you know, but the tour dates were canceled without explicitly. Like, do you guys like know like what happened with the tour or?
It's gonna have a lot of undisclosed complications with that situation, man. Because that's something we'll put behind us and leave it at that. Let's put it this way: it's not Chris.
Exactly.
to try to Chris something like this is—it's not really a possibility. You know, it's a live and learn. We tried multiple incarnations of, you know, without the core of the band, and it didn't work in any format that we tried. And getting together this time and deciding to reunite, basically all our opinions were it's all five or nothing.
I definitely understand that one. Now, of course, you know, you guys had a few shows for the month of August, actually, too.
A few shows for what?
Yeah.
For August, I guess you guys been rehearsing for, you know, for like live shows like for this month.
Oh, coming up now? No, you know, we've had that question. I mean, I've probably responded to 1,000 of those online of different, you know, different club promoters that we've dealt with and had good relationships with. But at this point, we need time to write, and we don't want to do shows until we have a full, you know, a full new product to get out there to everyone. We don't want to rehash the same, not that we won't be doing a lot of old material, but we want to be sure that we give something new this time, and it's not just a rehash of, you know, the former version. My guess is November for shows.
Okay, yeah, you know, like, I definitely understand that, you know, the fact, you know, you guys want mainly focus on the new album, you know, before putting anything on set in stone. I understand that.
We're doing two things right now. We're in late September, we're going into the studio to track three or four new songs, which will be sort of digital download. And what we'll use to put a final deal in place for the for this and for the full length, which we're writing on at the same time right now. So it's we're pulling double duties on this. And in order to do that, it makes more sense for us to stay, although we're all anxious as hell to get back on stage. We just want to make sure that we do it the right way this time.
Yeah, definitely. Now the new album that you guys are working on now, would that be a independent release or will it be through a label this time around?
Most likely it'll be through a label. Well, it will be through a label. it's too difficult and expensive and counterproductive to try to do something, you know, that kind of endeavor ourselves. We want to concentrate on the music, and we need someone to handle the other. You know, we've got management and representation in place, and we need someone to do that for us. We want to be the musicians and not handle every other aspect of the game.
Okay, because you know, the only reason I asked about that is because I know you guys put out American Arrogance, Flaw, and the Drama EP, along with the Homegrown Studio Sessions, as a independent release. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's fun to do that. I mean, I think we had a good time doing the initial albums. We just didn't have, you know, the ability to have label support at that time. We were a new band, and we didn't have contacts, and we didn't have any way to. The Homegrown Sessions, I think, was done intentionally, just as a, let's get some new material together. But this time, the full intent this time is a 100% Flaw back committed, and that'll mean, you know, going back to working for the man.
Now,
Now, do you guys have a certain label that you guys are working with now, or is it give me through Universal again?
It's not determined at this time. Like Jay said, we're just predominantly working on getting this material down and compiled before we get into that stage.
And Universal doesn't have any rights they had of first refusal or gone at this point that expired. So for us, I mean, obviously Universal's a possibility, but at this point, it's, you know, our management's dealing with that, and we're trying to stay out of that and stay in the studio writing.
I definitely agree with you guys on that one. Out of all, you know, it's like out of all the venues that you guys have been having, you guys have had the chance to perform at, you know, which venue and which state would you guys say has been like your most favorite state to perform in that you guys would love to go back to?
Man, that's a broad question. It's got a lot of great places that we played at. Texas for sure. Louisville, obviously.
I think it's always fun to do shows in the states and the areas and states on your backside tours where they don't get, you know, a big show, you know, once or twice every week. I think the people are more appreciative when you're the, you know, nothing has come 3 or 4 weeks before you and sort of taking the thunder. So those all states like Iowa and stuff like that tend to be interesting to play because you get in the backwoods of Kansas and they don't get that shit every day.
Michigan's always nice.
Hell yeah. Take me back to Ozfest, buddy. Take me back to Ozfest.
Do we know if they're going to be doing another Ozfest?
I'm just kidding. I don't think they've been doing it lately.
As far as touring goes, we really, management is, you know, lining stuff up, but we've stayed out of it. And our honest answer is we don't have a clue right now. Management company could probably give a better idea, but wouldn't. And we probably would, but just can't.
But looking like a true lawyer.
Because I think the last time I saw something about Ozfest was like some, like, I guess, like they're performing in Japan for the first time, I guess.
Japan? No, we've never been to Japan. I would love to.
Hell yeah, man! I think
Japan, Lance would love it.
Oh, definitely. I think Japan is definitely one of the best spots for, you know, rock and metal groups like, as of late because of the fact, you know, they seem to be so much into it more than the UK or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's totally different over there. They're more appreciative and more into the music than that. They still have the big festival.
Ghetto Man, you got any more questions you want to ask?
I guess we can go with, how would you separate yourself from other artists?
A baseball bat. I think you can always draw lines, you know, and find similarities between, you know, there's no original group out there or original song, honestly, when it comes down to it. But I think for us, the writing itself has stood the test of time. I mean, granted, it's only, you know, it's been 10 years, but you can take a 16-year-old kid, you know, that would have been six back then, and it's, you know, it still makes sense to them. I think that that speaks a lot about, you know, about the music and about the group as a whole.
Hell yeah. Now, do you guys have any special rituals that you guys have to do like before going up on stage? Like maybe it's like, you know, listen to music before getting on stage or anything like that?
We had to give up all of our pre-show rituals that we used to. we're trying to get rid of those. So I guess we're going to be looking for some new pre-show rituals.
Push-ups and sit-ups, smoke a quick bowl.
Stretching.
Eat a couple of aspirin.
That could definitely work out.
No, I mean, we're 47 now, so we got to stay on top of our game, you know.
So, man, I'm 52. Just kidding.
I think everybody kind of has their own thing that, you know, that they do before to put themselves, you know, in a place that's comfortable, go, you know, to be out in front of everybody, especially when you have to do it night after night after night after night, playing the same songs and the same songs, and try to bring the same level of energy, you know, to show what's up to people who, you know, for them it's the first time they've seen you, even though it's your 50th show in 60 days.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, like, now, like, you know, like, for you guys personally, what is it like, you know, being on the road, you know, like, for so, like, so many certain, like, so many days, like, so many shows?
What's it, being on the road for so long, is that what you said?
Yeah.
For me, I personally like it because, you know, you... Well, depending on how comfortable your traveling is. I mean, back in those good days, we were on a bus and had a driver. When you start doing it yourself and you're the driver, it's, you know, it's a little different.
The art of being comfortable, being uncomfortable.
Yeah, you kind of learn to accept the pain and go with it.
My opinion differs. I think when you're in that crappy van, it keeps everyone a little more straight and narrow, because you don't want to be hung over and feel like shit and ride 6 hours in a van with 8 other smelly dudes.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that one.
And the big thing is, how's the band getting along? If the band's getting along, and it's like a touring summer camp. You can't beat it if everyone's getting along. I mean, you're getting paid to meet new people every night.
Hurt you up.
You know, do raunchy things and move on.
Now, of course, you know, something I'm pretty sure, like, some of the people that probably don't know is, you know, you guys actually had the opportunity to actually open up for the likes of Fear Factory back around 2000.
Yes, that's correct.
Now, for you guys, you know, at that time, you know, being a, up-and-coming band, you know, to open up for the likes of Fear Factory, you know, like, what was that like for you guys?
It's an amazing thing to open up for, you know, to play with any band that you've listened to since you were, like, in high school. Actually, I think the first time we played with Fear Factory was when we were still local in a place called Toy Tiger. It was still in Fear Factory and System of a Down. Like, way back in, like, 99.
That's what's up, though, man. I think that's definitely fucking amazing, man. It really is. Now, a track I definitely want to talk to you guys about, and I want to ask you guys about, you know, like, for you guys, you know, like, what, you know, like, what was the meaning, and, like, what made you guys decide to, you know, to do a track like Payback?
What was that again? One more time. Sorry. What was that?
I said, like, you know, like, for you guys personally, you know, like, what was it like, and, you know, like, what made you guys decide to do a track such as Payback?
It depends. Like, for a track, which I mean, something that inspires you during that day, or something you've gone through, or. I think on the day we started on Payback, I was listening to a lot of Slipknot on the way to practice with Chris. Pissed off and mad at the world.
It was always like a crowd favorite, so like the crowd seemed to really like that song. It was kind of the first single of the first album.
Hell yeah.
I think Ghetto G here should ask you guys his favorite question I was asking about the on the EP3.
Well, first off, about that, about songs and whatnot, I would just like to say I really like your My Letter song.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, it's definitely a dope-ass song.
I like it, too.
But to the question, what would you say would be the most embarrassing song we may find on, like, your MP3 player or, like, a CD or something like that?
Aside from Wait For Me?
Wait a minute. Our collection or a fall song?
No, anything on your MP3 player.
You know, something we may not know that you listen to.
Ryan likes Michael Bolton.
I do?
I think Ryan has Nickelback on.
I like Lady Gaga, believe it or not. That probably shocks people.
I've got some Celine Dion.
And some heart. I like.
There you go. Lady. He's going to be jamming out to My Heart Will Go On.
Now. Now, of course, also, you
know, I still wouldn't be embarrassed about it.
What am?
Now, also, you know, some of the people that I know that was, you guys, you know, you guys actually had the track Get Up Again featured on the UFC 2009 Undisputed soundtrack along with Triple X.
Yes.
Now, you know, like for you guys, what was it like for you guys, to just like, you know, see like when you attract like up on something like something like UFC or Triple X.
That was cool. I thought it was real cool.
We're all video game fans, so putting stuff on any video game for us is it's kind of a no brainer.
It's cool to get phone calls from friends you've met all over and say, "Hey man, I'm in the game and I hear your song." That's cool. It's a good feeling.
Oh yeah. Now, my question is: there any chance that that we might end up maybe seeing like a track of WWE, maybe something like that in the near future, or
say what? Was that?
I said, is there any chance that, that we might end up seeing, one of you guys' tracks, whether it be, an old track or maybe, a newer track that you guys are working on now, featured as, a part of this, maybe the WWE?
I'm a fan of any of that stuff. I mean, anytime you can get stuff onto sports compilations or anything like that, one, it's something I think pretty much we're all into. But two, it's a great way to hit the type of crowd that's going, that should enjoy what we do.
Definitely agree with you guys on that one as well, man. I definitely agree. Now, I'm not sure if you guys have ever heard of the Gathering of the Juggalos or not.
Yes.
Is there any chance maybe in the near future where we might be to see Flaw performing at the Gathering?
Probably not.
I wouldn't dispute the opportunity, however. It's something that we've never done.
Yeah, honestly, I think you guys would definitely fit in with the Gathering because of the fact. The Juggalos, of course, we love our strike better, but at the same time, a lot of us love our rock and we love our metal, and, the style of your music would definitely fit in with the Gathering.
Ooh. Are you inviting us?
If I could, I would definitely.
Hey, Chris, it's your place.
The time's loaded. I'll bring the Faygo.
Hell yeah. But,
Rock and Rye.
All right, so you know what? So that brings me to my next wish for you guys. Do you guys have a favorite flavor of Faygo?
I just told you. Rock and roll.
I don't think I've ever had that.
Man, you're definitely missing out.
Too bad. It's delicious. It's delicious.
Now, if you guys could perform with any artist, as either headliner or opening up for you guys, who would it be and why?
Well, it probably. I don't know. I think it'd be cool to open for somebody like the Deftones or Seven Dust Again or whoever's popping it off right now. Coheed and Cambria.
Lamb of God.
Hell yeah. we actually have a question from the room. My boy Tacklebox wants to know, did you actually buy the equipment from musician friends and send it back after recording through the eyes?
It wasn't through the eyes. It was American Arrogance, and we did that. We ordered everything we needed to record. It had a 30-day money back guarantee. We tracked stuff out in 20-some days, and sent it back. You got our money back.
Okay. His other question is, you guys yourselves pick bands to open up for you guys, or is it decided by your manager or label?
Previously, it was pretty much set up by our booking agent and management. We're going to try to, this time I think we're going to try to keep a little more control over some of those things. It's always nice to bring out bands that you're a fan of yourself.
I definitely agree with you on that one. I see we have a guest in the room. Guest, if you want to call in and ask these guys some questions, number is 646-716-8054. Call in and definitely ask some questions to Flaw.
Do you have any callers on the line? Wait.
Hang on, is this live right now? Can people hear us? Live?
Yeah, this is live.
Okay, cool. Just checking.
And Ghetto, at the moment, not yet. But I'm not cheap. But like I said, we have a guest in the room. I think Tacklebox is good, probably calling.
Let us talk to Tacklebox. We want to talk to Tacklebox.
Tacklebox, you heard them. Call in. They want to talk to you.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I don't think Tacklebox has ever called into the show before. I mean, I know he's tuned in a few times, but I just don't think he's ever called in.
Is he a professional angler?
probably.
Or a Bassmaster.
Champion.
You saw him. All right, fellas, what's up?
He's calling in right
hey,
now.
Hey, be the fifth caller right now wins the Flaw catalog. Request lines are now open.
All right, we got Tacklebox with us. Tacklebox, what's going on, man?
Whoop, whoop, man.
Whoop, whoop.
What's up, Fox?
Not too much.
You got You got a cool name.
Well, thank you. I enjoy it.
Cool, buddy.
So tackle, man. You got any questions for these guys?
Man, that's pretty much all my questions, man. I'm just stoked to be actually talking to these dudes, man. I've been a fan of y'all for fucking years, man.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Now,
what's for supper tomorrow?
I think that was to you, man.
What's that?
They asked you what's for supper tomorrow.
We like pizza pockets. What do I didn't hear your question. My phone is shit, man.
They want to know what's for supper tomorrow.
Supper tomorrow? Fucking
yeah, for dinner.
Fish. Oh, for dinner?
Duh.
I don't know, it's Poppy Joe's or something.
I don't think Tech Box knows exactly what he's going to be making for dinner.
No, absolutely
okay,
not.
Okay, we're just messing.
We're not picky eaters.
Well, let us know, man. We'll be there.
Sloppy Joe's, man.
Sloppy Joe's. How'd it work?
Sloppy Joe's and tater tots.
Sure, why the fuck not? Actually, no. Now that I think about it, there's a fucking party. We're having a hog smoking party. They're smoking a hog and shit kind of drinking and smoking and
no, we're not.
Whatever else anybody wants to do.
Apparently, Daniel Hayes says, don't forget the tackies.
That name sounds familiar. I think he's my Facebook buddy.
Possibly, but let's see. I'm actually trying to go another question to ask you guys. Come, let's see. I've actually had a question.
All right, I got one.
The moment you mentioned it, that is an excellent question.
What do y'all run through? Like, are y'all doing amps and shit, like old times, or you doing what everybody's doing now with that axe thing where it just plugs in straight into the mixer board?
For live, we use our amps. We have my signature sounds and tones I'll be using. Jay has a new Line 6 head edition, so we'll definitely be through heads, but the axe effect is, I've been looking into it. I'd like to get one of those.
Yeah,
so
that's what I've been looking into, but I'm still kind of leery on that.
You go from a stage studio and your tones are there, I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's hard looking around these make the cabs.
You know what, I actually do have another question I want to ask you guys. How would you guys say, you guys as a band has grown, from the time, like from the first release of your first album to now?
Sorry, what was that? As a band. Individually or as a band?
Probably about like a half inch and a few pounds.
Well, as a band.
I think we like to experiment a little more now. We're a little more open to each other's ideas. That was probably part of the problem we had with each other to begin with. It was kind of, we're all quite different people and artists, and that's what works so well when we're together. But the first time, it also worked against us at times, too.
Yeah, because we all write songs. We all have our ideas. They're coming together. Everybody adding their piece really is the flaw tone and the sound. That's what makes it special. We got a pretty good package.
Hell yeah, bud. And Daniel actually has a question for you, Jay. He wants to know, what are your musical influences?
Yeah, I think y'all asked that earlier, but that's going to be different for each of us. Mine was like thrash music, and you know what made me want to play guitar was the, you know, just early Metallica
and Justice for All.
Yeah, that album.
And Terra Far Beyond Driven albums.
For me, initially with Flaw, I liked the idea of trying to take what was, you know, sort of old school rap at the time and then turn it into something that was rock. I think you could sit down and listen to not any old hip hop song, put that beat in your head, pick up a guitar and put together something, you know, that people will be able to move to.
Hell yeah. Hey, I think we're about to have another caller. One of our very good friends, goes by the name of Lovely Lady Kissa.
Well, let's get all these people on hold because, you know, we can only take one call at a time over here. Those phone lines are lighting up, aren't they, buddy?
Yeah. I'm trying to get her to call and ask you guys some questions. I know.
Let's go with some questions we wouldn't ask people.
I mean,
you know what? I do have a question that we normally want to ask, you know, people. Check it out. If you guys could, would you fuck a zombie prostitute?
Would we fuck a zombie prostitute?
Yeah.
Or did I just hear that? Okay.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't because she's probably dead.
A regular prostitute?
I would want a roll of duct tape to at least tape the mouth shut. But aside from that, yeah, why not?
A curling iron, some Vaseline, and it'll warm up.
That can definitely work out.
I got a question. Do you believe in UFOs?
Good question.
If you have to ponder, it's already too late.
Yes, I do, actually.
You are correct.
Me too. Cool. Just saying.
Have you ever watched animal porn?
No.
Bestiality?
No.
It's interesting.
Fun for the whole family. Where are you guys at?
I'm in Connecticut. Ghetto G is in
Connecticut?
Yeah.
Is Zach Camboni up there with you? Zach Camboni, where are you at, buddy?
But Ghetto G here is from Pittsburgh. Tackle Box, I don't know where he's from.
I'm from Florida.
Naturally by the waters.
Yeah, but our state's shaped like a dick, and where I'm at, it's like in the middle where venereal disease lies, so the town I'm in is shit, man. Where this is a fucking shit.
Right.
Hole.
I got you.
How do you go about getting the name Tackle Box?
Well, I do tattoos and piercings, and I've been pierced over 165 times. At one time,
jeez.
I've had over 50 from my neck up, like piercings and implants. And every fucking redneck hillbilly that's around here always says the same fucking joke of, you fall face first to the tackle box. And I hated it. And all my friends just started calling me it, and I finally just said, you know what, fuck it. Call me Tackle Box so I can beat him to the punch.
Yeah, that's a lot of piercings. That's a lot of piercings, man. I hear you.
It's a little bit. I'm nowhere near where I want to be with it, so working there.
God damn.
Dedicated.
No turning back now.
That or just psychotic. I haven't decided which one it is.
Painfully committed.
I think the true commitment in body modification is limb removal.
Let's see how serious you really are. Can you do? You can do without that arm, motherfucker.
I don't go that far with it, man. You won't see me tying my fucking dick up and then cutting it off any time in my life.
No, good.
I look down on that shit, but I do it more for the actual, like the body high. Actually, like I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't pop pills. When I go in, I go completely sober. I fast for a few days, go in, get it done, and ride it out, man. Like
you do, like body suspension and all that.
I really want to, but the problem with that is, man, is a lot of people want me to do it in a building with people around and stuff, and I actually want to get up on top of, like, a hill or a mountain, whether it's a tree that I can hang from, but high enough to where I can see the shape of, like, the earth start to curve down and hang from that and have a really spiritual thing. Like, that, I don't know, with doing it as much as I have and the shit I've experienced just from body mods and hallucinogens, I've become spiritual in that aspect. And I think it would be a movement to where I should be universally doing it that way. So I'm against doing it in buildings, and until I can find somebody that's willing to let me do that, I won't do it.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, I hear you.
But yeah. I actually do have a question. I'm sure I know it's been asked numerous times. I am in a band. What's outside of the typical answer of just work real hard and all that regular stuff that should be known, what's something that you can suggest or like a inspirational quote or something that you could give an up-and-coming musician or somebody that's dedicated and actually trying to, I don't want to say get up and on the radio or anything because I'm really against that type of thing, but any musician that's actually trying to come up in a way.
Surround yourself with good musicians that you enjoy being around. It doesn't matter how good you are or what the product you put out is. If you can't stay together and you can't enjoy the fact that you're around each other doing what you want to do, then it's all for nothing, and it all turned into nothing.
I think a lot of today has to do with how good your singer is, because there's a lot of bands that are good bands with bad singers.
Yeah, we still don't have a singer. Like,
so if you're not happy with yours, go steal somebody else's.
That's always our motto.
Hey,
that's the problem with where I'm at. It's like Mayberry with 50,000 people. Like there's plenty of singers out there, but trying to find the right one. Like my last band just broke up, and our singer then was basically a karaoke DJ. So he would sing like he was trying to do karaoke, and it sounded a lot like Zach De La Roach. And it just, nothing against Zach De La Roach because he is the shit, but that's not where we were trying to get. And it's either like the blood for blood type hardcore screams, which were not that type of music, or it's redneck stuff.
And I think that's the same everywhere. There's always, any city you go to, if you're looking to put a Screamcore project together, you'll have more volunteers that can do that. And I think what really sets the band apart is finding and putting together the people that can do what the other bands around them can't do. And there's a lot of people who do that. And you have to find something to set you apart from the six other bands that are going to take the stage before and after you.
Yeah. That's what we've been talking about, is trying to just actually do the vocals ourselves, just so if we do find a singer, we can go, look, this is kind of what we're looking for. If you can do better than this, by all means. If you can't, then don't waste our time.
I definitely agree. I definitely agree with you on that one. But I'm actually officially out of questions, and you know, and of course, you know, like I know you guys are also in the middle of working on your new album at the same time too.
Yeah, we actually the phone rang when I was getting ready to pack a piece. So we get off the phone. It's for a short amount of time, at least, back to work, crash out for a few hours, and then live writing rehearsal in the morning.
Well, well, as I said, you know, I'm not sure what question, but you know, I'll definitely thank you guys, you know, for coming up on here doing this interview with us, man.
Yeah, definitely appreciate you guys stopping by.
Thanks. Absolutely.
Thank y'all for listening to my shenanigans.
Y'all did this. And we'll see you guys soon.
Hell yeah, and definitely, good luck with the new album.
Thank you very much, guys. Bye, Take care.
You too.
Thanks, bud.
No problem, man. Peace. All right. That was definitely... Well, at least we learned how to do short interviews.
We learned that, like... months ago. Where we popped off questions for like 20 minutes and then it was over.
Yeah, true.
So who was that? Rehab.
Oh yeah, Rehab and Liquid Assassin.
Well, Liquid Assassin was here a little longer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the only, actually, that's probably the only other dope interview that Mr. PK got us, honestly.
But he didn't come to it.
Yeah, I know.
But here's a question, since he's now on another radio. Does he actually show up this time?
I have no clue.
I mean, they gotta know his track record is very bad.
Yeah. Very, very bad, actually.
So next week, we got Dead Celebrity Status.
Yes, we do. I'm definitely looking forward to that one because it's been a long time since I've talked to Yaz. Well, you know, like, during like an interview.
Yeah, you keep talking to him every day. So it's not like you don't talk to him.
True, but unlike Chris, I'm actually saving my questions for the interview.
Well, yeah, man, you could just bullshit and talk to people. Man, you got to ask them questions. Yeah, definitely save it for the interview.
Yeah, that's one thing that that idiot didn't learn. He always asked his questions before the interview, so then that way he ran out of questions.
Yeah. So how about this one thing that I had to find to order with my WWE order for something real cheap? So I found them, you know, Randy Orton little tattoo sticker things. And my God, are these things fucking small. like, just think about the people that actually want these things and actually want to buy them. Like, these things are fucking tiny. Like, I paid 99 cents for this. Well, actually, it wasn't even 99 cents. It was like 80 cents.
Oh, man.
Like, yeah, man, it's one of them shitty items that you buy from, like a school store or something. Like, you know, back in elementary school, you had that little store you go to, you know, get some candy, some pencils and whatnot.
That sounds absolutely horrible.
30, 40 years ago, man.
30, 40 years ago? How old are you?
Way too goddamn old. That's old.
Well, I mean, I'm 27, so I mean, that was a long time ago, yeah. Did you say you're 68?
I've lived so fast, I feel that fucking way every goddamn morning.
Well, I mean, I feel pretty old, too, but, you know, like I said, I'm only 27, so.
No, I just turned 28.
No, see, look, we're in the same boat.
Weeks ago.
I thought you were just, like, some real old guy or something.
Like, yes, honey, I am. I was on a school tour when we were using trees for our chalkboard.
That's like them people in them real poor places, man. They have Facebook, except they just have to draw it on their wall.
Yeah. I think they all have one computer, and it's just everybody shares the one Facebook page.
Oh, no, it's not even a real computer. It's just, you know, chalk on a wall, you know, and it says Facebook, you know, and all that shit.
Their phones are Dixie cups hooked up to everybody's house.
Man, we used to do that as kids, man. Did you ever try that? It's like...
Yeah.
Like, we were dumb kids, you know? We tried that shit.
I still do, but I'm... Don't get no answer.
Yeah, he still tries doing that. He's like, fuck a cell phone, I'm going to just pick up my Dixie cup.
Dude, I hate this shit. I really fucking do. Everybody's like, oh, call me. No. No.
Yeah, I definitely hate talking
about this. Download this nifty little app. What the fuck is an app?
It's something to annoy people.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Ghetto G, I think you should go vote.
Vote for what?
Well, I posted up a poll up on up in the JR group.
Well, what does it matter who I vote for?
Does every vote count? Don't you pay attention to
the news? Did Tackle Box vote yet?
Tackle Box, go vote.
For? Where?
Go to the Juggalo Ride Radio group page up on Facebook. And pretty much the poll is for, it's a question of, who do you guys want to see JR interview next? And the options are Big B, Bubba Sparks, Slane, Combi Christ, Daddy X, or Head P.E.
Man.
Ooh. Ooh. Wait, hold on. Weren't we supposed to have Slane at one point? Can't we just reschedule that?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, we can definitely reschedule it. I'm just saying, I just want to see what everybody's going to say. If they're going to say, you know, like, who like, they want to choose.
Well, what did James say about Big B, man? Did you ask him about that?
Not yet. I said to ask him about that.
Only asked him about Bubba Sparks.
Yep, pretty much.
Is it on the main page, or I got to go somewhere for it?
Yeah, just go in the group, and it should be, like, right there. The last couple posts that were in there.
As far as the whole Juggalo and battle thing, I'm deleting that.
I saw that. I was like, what the fuck, man? We got another rap battle going on the telephone.
I actually removed that person from the page.
Man, remove that girl from the group, man. I deleted her off my friends list, man. She's all about party lines and shit like that.
Well, yeah, I removed her from the group, so don't worry about that one.
Oh, thank God.
my eyesight's going, man. The only thing I saw was the second co-host. And then a whole bunch of pictures, videos, and...
I think he might went up to the like page.
Yeah, go to the Juggalo Rider Radio Street Team page.
Are you in the group?
I don't think so.
Well, Havoc, you're friends with him on Facebook, right? Just send him the damn link.
There. You've been added, Tacklebox.
Well, I just meant the link to the voting thing, but that works too.
And Daniel Hayes, you're kind of late. They already left.
Ask Tacklebox the question. He's our new guest. Here, this question is for Tacklebox. If you had the opportunity to change something in the industry, what would it be?
What industry?
The music industry.
Oh, well, do we have a couple hours?
We got about an hour.
Right. I'll pick one.
Is that your answer?
Yeah. No, I would destroy just like radio, MTV, anything that encompasses. Radio and MTV and VH1 and whatever the fuck else is on TV. I don't watch that shit no more. I don't agree with the you should like this because it's on TV and all that stupid shit. I think that musicians should speak from their heart and through music and not suck a corporate cock. I don't know. That'd be my answer.
It's probably the best answer we heard all night.
Yeah.
I like that answer. Good job, Tacklebox.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Tacklebox, my next question for you is, would you rather go catch a trout, catfish, bass, or a shark?
Well, I can't say shark because I'd rather dive with them, and I've seen too many videos of people catching them in the boat, and I'm not sticking my hand down there to get a hook. With a bass and a catfish, I've done it. I'm a Floridian. That's what the fuck we do. I'd say a trout because it's fly fishing. There's an art to fly fishing. I used to live up in Georgia and watch the motherfuckers do it and just draw like a quick... reference drawings for it, and I think it's the most beautiful art form as far as fishing goes, just actually watching. I'm actually trading a tattoo to learn how to fly fish because it's actually an art. It's not a matter of getting a cane pole and going, put some bread on the hook. You actually got to work at it. So trout.
Did you say put bread on a hook?
Yeah. It's what we do down here, man.
Let's
that
use
or
like,
hot dogs.
Like bait, you know, like worms and shit.
Well, they bait with fucking bread.
Bread's no different. You can take a chicken gizzard, whatever.
Chicken gizzard.
We're Floridians, man. We don't like you, we'll cut you up and use you as bait. Fuck it.
Well, then you get a lot of people to cut up then.
You're telling me.
Oh. Unfortunately, I'm pretty sure the fish would run away if it's something like Lil Wayne.
Yeah, no, we're not doing toxic fishing. I want to be able to eat the fish when I'm done.
Yeah, you eat that, you might get that poison and become a real shitty rapper.
I'd start talking like I've never seen a fucking dictionary.
Man, I know a lot of those people.
Yeah,
I know too many of them. That's where we should start with the other industry, like the worldly industry, like humans. Get rid of them, we'll all live better.
Yeah, fuck humans.
will start talking like, how are you doing this evening? I'm wonderful, thanks. Indubitably.
Well, we don't need that either.
Well, no, not all like Christmas shit. Fuck, I love a good glass of scotch, a cigar, and an intelligent conversation. You want to talk about science and quantum mechanics? I'm down. You want to talk about how Justin Bieber looks like in a swimsuit? Fuck off. I want to kill you.
I don't know why anybody would want to talk about that.
I know.
I don't know why the fuck he brought that up.
Man, I got a sister that listens to that. It gets brought up.
Yeah, he likes to jam out to it while he's fishing.
Yeah.
How old is your sister?
Oh, fuck. 23.
Yeah, she's
and
just left.
Dumb as box of rocks.
Yeah, your sister needs to be smacked just for fucking listening to fucking Justin Bieber. She's 23.
Well,
totally.
You gotta understand my sister. Up until 2 years ago, she swore the moon was made of rubber. And I shit you not on this. The reason is because when you watch the moon landing video and he's bouncing, she says the only way he could do that is either wearing those old school moon shoes or if it was made of rubber like a trampoline. That was her fucking answer. And I'm not making that shit up, dude. If she was awake, I'd three-way call her so she can answer it for you.
Wait, trampolines are made of rubber?
No, apparently, you know what I'm saying.
Not really. I'll just agree with you.
Apparently, according to his sister, the moon is made of rubber.
No, but he said like a trampoline, though.
Yeah, you know, why not?
Run away from the trampoline.
I don't know where this is walk away.
Have we not learned anything from Sin Cara? Always trying to jump around. He gets injured way too much.
You jump around, you get hurt.
Exactly. So stay away from trampolines.
Well, yeah, at our fucking age, man. You remember being able to fall out of a tree 12 foot high and bounce up like nothing fucking happened? Nowadays, you fall out of bed and you're bedridden for a month.
Man, that's why they got that life alert.
Yeah.
That was the fakest commercial I've ever seen. Like, she didn't even look like she was in pain.
Nope.
I see on the chat thing, Daniel says chicken livers, bro. Yes, chicken livers too.
Yes, bro.
Yes. Bro.
Oh, God. Gil G has caught the sickness. We must put him down.
I didn't catch any sickness.
Use that word.
I didn't use no word, bro. Relax, bro.
Yep. It's time for him to be put down.
You're lying. Take one back 40 and all the other ones.
So what happened to Kissa calling in, you said?
Well, I told her to call in, and she asked who would be interviewing, and then I told her, and then she just stopped talking.
Well, earlier, Lando Cloud said he didn't even know who they were.
I don't think Lando Cloud knows what anything is nowadays.
And then somebody commented after that, like, they're pretty sick, or whatever the fuck you said.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're definitely dope. Music's definitely dope, too.
Well, their music's dope.
So, Ghetto, do you believe in UFOs?
No.
Are you sure?
I don't believe in UFOs, but I do believe in aliens. It's all your fault, little V.
Yes.
All right, I got a question for you, man. If you believe in aliens and they came back and they did like an Independence Day or Mars Attacks or any of the
Mars Attacks, that'd be fucking hilarious.
Right? But do you think it would be a terrible thing or do you think it would be an actual good thing?
Well, here's a question. Would you rather that happen or a zombie apocalypse happen?
Man, the zombie apocalypse is already going on. You just gotta look around. People stuck on Facebook, on their phones, watching TV. They're all fucking zombies. Illiterate fucks that don't do anything.
Well, you would think if they stare at the screen so long, they would learn things, you know what I mean? But they don't.
You would think, but you can't watch Nicki Minaj and Lil Wayne and Justin Bieber and expect to become a quantum physicist.
Or even a burger flipper at McDonald's.
No. If you become that, you've got mass amounts of swag.
Swag.
What can you bring to this company? Swag. Hire.
Like, I got dope rap skills, son.
Jody right.
Yeah, just imagine little Poot working at McDonald's.
Oh, God.
I want to see your manager. You got to see my manager. You see me. You see me right now.
Now, that would make going to that place entertaining.
Oh, yeah. I'd sit there for fucking hours.
Now, earlier somebody was, like, talking on the phone or something. That sounded like UG was on the phone.
Probably was.
But, he probably was. He wasn't here.
Nope.
Speaking of which, they I think they might have had a show earlier yesterday there.
Oh, well.
On Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, no, it was Blog Talk Radio. Or how the fuck that British fucking says it.
Man, that wasn't even like British. That was like you almost turning Chinese or something. But speaking of British people or whatever, I never realized that Paige girl talked like that.
Oh, well, yeah, she's from England.
I've never heard her talk. I just thought she was odd.
Let's see. Trip NYC. Let's see about the trip.
Trips?
Yeah. Trip ramps.
Like to take a trip or the musician or...
The band. You know, trip pants.
Oh, or the pants. There we go. It's another trip.
God damn, this motherfucking site wants 89, wants fucking 90 bucks just for a pair of pants.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
And where are they from?
Vampire freaks.
Nah, get the fuck out of here. should not be charging that much.
Definitely not. But like they want fucking $60 for fucking Faison pants.
Wasn't Vampire Freaks like the Facebook during like when AOL and dial-up was the only internet?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, it's technically the Facebook for goth metalheads, the ravers.
Yeah.
You know, little kids that wanted to be goth.
Damn, $70 for a fucking pair of fucking reactive pants. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, I really don't see you wearing, like, big-ass pants.
Hey, I'd do it if I could afford them.
I had, like, maybe two big-ass pair of pants I get my entire life, and I couldn't fucking walk in for the life of me.
Were they Jenkos?
No. No, they weren't Jenkos. They were, what were they? They were something from Hot Topic.
Oh, God.
I actually have a pair of Jenkos somewhere in my room.
Those are trip pants, and they're like a cheap-ass fabric that you get at, like, Michael or Hobby Lobby or some shit. And you sew it yourself, and it breaks half hour into wearing them.
What did it break so much, but as where if I stepped on them wrong, it ripped all the way off?
Well, they got so many chains and locks and clips.
Oh, no,
and all
no. I didn't wear all that. No. I didn't rock it. Just like, they were big pants like that, but they didn't have the whole, you know, buckles and all that shit, no. Straps. Although I did wear, like, big ass, like, you know, wallet chains and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like, this one time, my teacher told me I looked like a bouncer.
That'd be awkward if I was wearing fucking tight ass fucking pants.
You in tight pants and you in big ass pants. Both of them would be pretty fucking weird.
Man, why can't they have anything cheap up on here? What the fuck's the matter with them?
Nothing is cheap nowadays.
Yeah, but come on, vampire freaks, they should be somewhat cheap.
I'm surprised they even exist anymore.
Oh, they still exist, and there's like a shitload of people up on this slate nowadays. There's about 2,060 users online right now.
I think I went on there one time to talk to one person, and then that was it. And I don't even talk to her no more. For like years now.
Well, since I'm up on here, I might as well see if fucking Comedy Crush would ever be interested in doing a interview.
There you go.
That'd definitely be one. That'd be an interesting band to have up on here.
What did Jackal Fox say?
I'm still on this page looking for that, and I cannot find that fucking thing nowhere.
Hey, Columba. But yeah, could you imagine fucking us having Comedy Crush up on JR?
You know, I don't know. I'm really not quite sure who that is.
Industrial metal.
Yeah.
I knew, like, maybe one guy that made music like that, except he was just, like, some local guy.
Yeah, no, they got a band. Actually, one of my favorite tracks, but I'm about to two of my favorite tracks. One is Get Your Body Beat, and then This Is My Rifle.
Get Your Body Beat. That sounds like a nice track.
You can listen to it for a little bit.
Well, why don't you upload it and we can just play it?
Let me go download it. If you want me to go buy the fucking... I'll just buy it and take it on. It's only like 99 cents. Now, if I can remember how to get to it, so I can buy it. Yeah, they got a new fucking CD out, too.
I told Jennifer Flower Child that she should be a wrestler, and she said she can only fight when she's blacked out drunk. And I was like, I was like Sandman.
Yeah. That's different, like Sandman. Somebody cry.
Man, this damn girl is always complaining about being single and shit. And then when she finds like a bunch of guys to talk to and shit, she always complains about them because all they want to do is see her naked.
Huh.
Or like, hey, let's Skype, and they do weird shit. Well, what do you want people to do when, you know, you're on the fucking internet, you got your titties out everywhere? You want them to come over and just talk to you, you know, like, you know, hold an intelligent conversation like Tackle Box does?
Indubitably.
Well, that's not going to happen on Facebook.
Hell nah, motherfucker. That's Facebook. Nobody's intelligent up on there anymore.
No. I've played that card before, doing crazy posts, see what people think, and it's usually, huh? What are you talking about? I mean, read a fucking book. What's that? I don't
know. He's like, I hope you die.
All right, I got a question for both of y'all, actually.
We might not have an answer, but I'm good.
What's the most recent book y'all have read, and how long ago was it that you read it?
Did he just ask me what was the last book I read?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Well, it's a good question.
It's okay,
yeah.
I'll wait.
Yeah, I might have to get back to you.
Yeah, same here.
No, I don't really read books, man.
I'm sorry.
I guess I'm illiterate and can't read.
Well, I didn't say that.
I'm just saying, man.
I haven't
read books in many, many years. Unless you include like instruction manuals for like video games and whatnot.
I don't watch TV. That's not allowed in this house. I don't play video games. I barely watch movies, and if I do, it's usually documentaries. But other than that, it's just an expensive library in this house.
He likes to read, fish, and do shadow puppets.
Yes. When everybody's asleep, I go into the closet and stick a flashlight in my feet.
Why you gotta make it weird?
Well, because then I wouldn't be me, and then I'd be lying on the radio, and that's not cool.
Okay. My account page. Download.
Doing?
Downloading Combat Cards. Get your body beat.
Oh. So do you listen to music, Taco Boss?
As very much so.
Okay, at least he does something normal.
But it's not normal music by any means.
But still, it's still music. He has some life still left.
Yes, he does. For the time being.
For a little bit.
Oh no, I think I listen to a lot of music every day.
Oh no, there's very few times I don't listen to music. Like, I actually stopped listening to music to listen to y'all and haven't listened to music since. I mean, obviously, but...
You see what we did, man? We made them come listen to us.
Yeah.
We did something good this evening.
I guess that's a sure
thing. For the betterment of humanity.
Yeah, find it.
It's a good thing Tiger Box showed up, though.
Yes, it's been quite a while since I have showed up to JR, I have to admit.
Well, I meant because you had a bunch of questions and whatnot.
Oh, well, yeah, that's my other point I was making, of course.
Because, I mean, honestly, I really didn't have anything.
Yeah, I ran out of questions on a, like, in a fucking minute.
Yeah, man,
well,
have a grand drive real quick.
And y'all have a short list of questions, message me, and I'll be like, fuck, I'll call in and just, even if I don't know who they are, I'll bombard them with strange questions.
Well, you can stop by next week, man, for dead celebrity status.
Hell yeah.
Word. I'll ask them what their thoughts on the theory of relativity is, or some crazy shit.
I'm sure they might actually answer that question.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Hey,
even here, I actually like shock a lot of old people. Like, they'll look at me and go, "Oh God, he's got two mohawks, shit ton of piercings, his face is tattooed. He doesn't know shit." And then it's like, "Hey, you hear what they've been doing in science recently? Well, let me tell you. Where the fuck do you know this from? I read books."
See that? You like to prove people wrong.
Well, oh, yeah.
Speedy, what was the last book that you read?
Me?
I said, Speedy, what was the last book you read?
A black book? I don't know what he said. I'm trying to ask what he said.
He wants to know the last book that you read.
And how long ago was it?
Probably like 4 or 5 years ago, and I have no idea.
Well, how do you know it was 4 or 5 years ago?
I really don't know if it was. I don't read.
Could have been 4 or 5. Could have been about 15.
Okay, Speedy doesn't read either. We got to find somebody that actually reads.
That's not me.
There you go. There's a status for you, Havoc. Post it up on your Facebook. Ask people, what's the last book that they've read?
and how long ago was it?
I bet you, like, nobody answers you.
I gotta remember to add the whoop to it.
Yeah, you gotta put that there so they pay attention.
Oh, he said whoop whoop, it must be a good book.
Exactly, see? He knows what's up. Even if you're saying something ignorant, man, as long as you put the whoop whoop after it, you're good.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody's watching TV.
Yeah, Havoc just got back into watching the rest of the Bourne Legacy.
You still didn't finish watching that?
Nope.
You were watching that like an hour, 2 hours ago.
Well, yeah, I started at about maybe 10 o'clock. And then we got into the interview.
Yeah, so you saw at least half of it.
And I saw about the half of it, and I just got to finish it.
I don't think I've ever watched that whole movie, let alone any of them.
This is actually the final one I'm seeing, because it was actually the final one. I think they might be coming up with another one, I think, possibly.
Man, I sure hope not. What are they going to do, have another brother? Maybe a sister?
My fucking computer does not, like, well, Facebook does not let me type in whoop whoop because it keeps fucking separating it.
You got to put numbers in there, man.
That's fine. find out here. The Born. Serious. Let's see if we got any new coming up for these motherfuckers.
Sure hope not. I really do. Jeez, somebody just exploded.
Mew.
She even says mute.
That's why you guys call me, so I'm going to start calling myself mute.
Yeah, but you're not, you're not a Pokemon, no. You don't have to keep saying your name. When you get real angry, do you go like, mute?
I'm going to start saying it every time I come in here now.
Oh, yeah? So what's been going on with the mute?
Not much.
Nothing. Well, don't you have like a boyfriend now?
Yeah, he's gone.
He's gone. That was quick.
Well, not gone, but he had to go back home.
Go back home? Where's home?
Phoenix.
And where are you at?
I'm in Taylor. I'm 3 hours away from Phoenix.
Oh. So it's not that far then. Alright.
We're basically still in the same state, just not close. Not as close as we want to be.
Of course, we're going to talk about the comment on the status.
Yeah, I saw it, and I was like, oh, shit, yeah.
Well, that's going to be your only comment.
I see somebody likes it, which I don't understand that if it's a question.
Man, you don't understand Facebook, bit.
No, I don't.
People like everything.
I want to kill myself. Ooh, like! I hate everybody. Like!
Well, usually when somebody posts something like real sad, I usually like it.
Yeah, and Ghetto G, there is another one in the works.
I actually saw somebody post some shit saying that it was an actual complaint about they like everybody else's statuses, but nobody likes theirs, and if that's going to be the case, they're going to delete everybody that hasn't liked their statuses. Like, really?
Damn, that's some serious shit.
Yeah.
You're taking it that seriously? Just eat a bullet. Eat a bullet, please. It's not that serious.
Yeah, always get your body beat.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound so negative.
And we're back.
Yeah, Ghetto Struggling Up. People were actually responding to my fucking status for once. Let's see.
Well, who would have thought?
Yeah,
one of them was actually reading now. And
yeah,
the other
like,
one was 4 years ago.
But regardless, people answered.
Well,
yeah,
but I'm upset that not that many people are reading. Like, why not? I don't know. I'm a reader, man. It to me, that's better than TV or video games. That's, I mean, my personal opinion. But it just blows my mind. Like, you go 50 years ago and nothing but reading, even though there was radio and television, and now it's nothing but television or radio, and nobody reads.
Hey,
yep.
Tackle box finally found the poll.
Yeah.
Only took about an hour.
Yeah, he chose
MPE. That old man, it takes a while.
Even when we send you right to it.
Yeah. I don't know how these crazy doodads and gidgetmagoos go.
All you gotta do is click it.
Yeah, you know what? I will look around the room. Somebody sends me a link, I'll look around the room for it. I don't know that shit.
Look around the room? Like in your house?
No, in the neighbor's house. I'll walk into the neighbor's house. Hey, I'm looking for the link.
Man, I wouldn't put it past you.
Neither would I.
Oh, man. But yeah, he chose that B.
There you go. We got one vote.
Oh, we got two votes. I decided to vote as well. I voted on Combat Crush.
Well, see, that like I said in my comment, I would love to hear Combi Christ interviewed, because Combi Christ, I'm a big fan, although the only time I really listen to him is when I'm doing stuff that's not legal.
Stuff.
But
legal.
To me, I'm a hardcore Head PE fan. I have been since way back in the day, like Church of Realities type Head PE fan. And I got a lot of questions that I won't ask, just because I know, especially Jared, how he is. He'll get all butthurt about it. But there's a lot of shit that should be asking, answered for a lot of the old school fans. I mean, don't pull a corn about it and be a prick, but actually answer them.
Yeah.
That's why I pick Head PE. So, I mean, I've hung out and chilled and talked to Trauma on the phone, but to me, Head PE is back in the day before Blackout. That's true Head PE to me.
Oh, now we just need to get more people to fucking go on this and see what they say.
Like, have y'all seen the video of the band The Clue from 1988 in Arizona, where Jared was the singer?
Oh
boy, dude, it's like imagine Boy George mixed with The Cure. Like, he is in spandex dancing around with a guitar and shit, dude. It's fucking nuts. But what's crazy about it to me is like Tupac was into drama and all that stuff, but he was open about it. Jared, you ask him about The Clue, and he flips the fuck out and becomes a prick about it. Like, why hide it? Like, it's, to me, it's like the gay community. It's cool if you're gay, don't get me wrong. But if you're going to be closed about it, then fuck off. But be open about it. Be happy about your past. Be happy about what you are and where you've come from and all that shit. Jared is not.
There you go, Havoc, man. You got something you could push somebody's buttons on.
Oh, yeah. That should be fun.
Yeah, you can go ahead and throw that out there and see what happens.
Are you talking about Jared?
Yeah, what you just told us, man. We didn't know anything about all this.
Well, yeah, you've been practicing short interviews. It'll be about a two-minute interview the second you say the clue. I guarantee it. Like, you ask Jared about it when you see him at shows, and he flips the fuck out, dude. He becomes a prick. I mean, he is in general. But,
in that case, we will save the clue to be our last question.
There you go.
But I mean, to me, like Head PE, like they went one way, and then the second they turned to Suburban Noise, they don't do anything. They changed to strictly Suburban Noise. Like, they are Suburban Noise, and that's the route they go. That's cool, the label you go with, but don't let them influence where you want to go. Like, they're promoting this punk rock hardcore shit. And yeah, they've always been a part of that. They always have. You listen to Church of Realities, you listen to Self-Titled, you listen to Broke, and you can actually hear the punk rock in them. Now it's just punk rock and reggae, and that's not Head PE. Like, if they were going to do that, pick another fucking band name. The only two people that are original in there is DJ Product and fucking Jared. Head PE's Only in America wasn't even supposed to be Head PE. It was supposed to be a fucking side project. And then they decided, well, we're just going to use the name Head PE. Well, now you're riding on that name and what that name has brought upon you, just like Korn did. Korn went from Korn to Jonathan Davis, Queen of the Damned soundtrack for every fucking album they do. Why ride that fucking name? Do a side project. That, to me, I don't understand. That, to me, is a sellout thing. I mean, I still love Head PE, don't get me wrong. I'll still jam out to them. I jam out to every fucking record they do, even the new one. But to me, it's not Head PE. Like, you talk to me about Head PE, you're talking, like, Broke, Self-Titled, and Church of Reality. In a way, Blackout. But you talk about anything else, it's like, okay, yeah, you're talking about Jared and Product. I don't know. I'm really anal about music. Like, the majority of my music that's on my playlist or whatever the fuck you want to call it, it's a wide, wide fucking variety. And I'm very fucking anal about it, but I think Jared needs to answer some fucking serious questions for the true Head PE fan.
Well, there you have it, Havoc.
Yep.
Get Head PE on there and we'll bust some fucking balls.
Well, this dude knows a lot, man. He can ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Fuck, let's do a dual interview. Combi Christ and Head PE. Make it like a WWF or E, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Like, match off. Get them both on. Two completely different spectrums of the music industry, and then just have fans call it. See who lasts the longest.
See, I like that idea. But
and then
be
whoever,
whole, that'd be a whole bunch
whoever
of
stays on
going.
The phone. Yeah, and whoever stays on the phone gets the heavyweight fucking title.
That'd be really interesting.
Yeah. And do it once a month, every month, for the rest of this year. And the heavyweight title of this next month, bring them on to the following month. If they don't make it, they don't fucking make it. At the end of the year, so-and-so's the heavyweight title of the year. Then they gotta defend it.
Well, I really don't know how well that will work, but to have two bands on there talking back and forth, that'd be interesting, though.
Yeah, but when you think about it, Juggalo Rider Radio, think about ICP. They didn't know how well it would work out to look where they're at now.
No, I meant the whole, you know, the title thing that you were just talking about.
Well, sure. You might get Combi Christ on there, and they may be the biggest group of nerds that you ever met, but they still watch WCW and all that shit. Like, they might be down for it. Ed T.E. might not be, but then again, they might be. Or any other band. Like, Flaw, did we ask them anything about wrestling?
I could just imagine where that would have went.
It's an imagination, but it could have gone towards, oh, yeah, we're all about that. Would you want to go up for the heavyweight title in interviews? Should you? Could have been. But then it could have been like, no, fuck you. Either way, it would have been an interesting conversation.
Well, you go ahead and create a title, and let us know how that works out.
I'll make the belt.
Alright, there we go.
And, someone actually commented on my, status again, saying, although they spelled the wrong red. But, yeah, they said that they read the 50 Shades of Hulk. He doesn't have sex, he smash.
Alright then.
Hey, we got a 502 called in. 502, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
What's going on?
Pretty good. How you guys doing?
We're doing good.
You doing good? Awesome, man. I was trying to link up with you guys. I was listening there for a little bit. So, my name's Chris Ballinger, man. I'm the drummer for Flaw.
What's going on, man?
Hello?
Hello, Chris.
And I was calling to make sure that my guys made the interview tonight.
Yeah, they did. We actually ended the interview about 12 o'clock, just because of the fact that, you know, I know that they're in the middle of working on the new album and everything, you know?
Yeah, we were over there tracking, and I was a little busy, man. I was going to jump in on the interview myself, but apologize about that.
No, that's all right, man.
Yeah, it's cool.
Well, I'm not part of the radio show. I'm just a listener, but I hate to hound dog, but I have to say, dude, I've been a fan of y'all for fucking years, dude. Fucking honor to talk to you, man, for sure.
Well, man, I really appreciate it. You know, without people like you, we would never have a career either. So, don't think we don't know that. I definitely know that.
Hell yeah.
No, yeah, I'm not doubting that. I just had to say it. I mean, hound dogging or not, it's.
No, man, it's great to hear.
Y'all have been a big part of my life for a long fucking time, for real.
Well, man, I appreciate it. It means the world to me to hear that. It really does, man. I got two kids and a wife, and this means everything to me to be back doing this, you know. I've been trying to get all five guys on the same page for the last 3 or 4 years now, and it's finally happening. So.
So you're the original, like, actual drummer?
Yeah, I'm Chris Ballinger off Through the Eyes and Endangered. Yeah, the original.
Man, I don't pay too much attention to actual names. I just listen to the music.
Right. Well, I did the first record, Through the Eyes, Drama, the CD that got it signed. And I left in the middle of recording Endangered Species, but I wrote my tracks and then left, and that's when Near Z came in and did my tracks. But, yeah, that's me, man.
Do you mind if we ask him questions? Since he's on the phone?
Yeah, we can definitely do that. I mean, if he's up for it, we can definitely ask him some questions.
Yeah, are you up for it, bro?
Sure, I'm up for it. That's up to you guys, actually. You know, I don't know what kind of time frame you're on, but yeah.
The show actually ends in about, right now, like, we're, like, in recording mode, but, like, the show kicks us off about, like, in about an hour. But yeah, we can definitely get some questions. And Gettleman, you down for this?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let me, I'm listening to some of our new tracks online here. Let me tell Lance to hold on a second. Can you give me about 30 seconds?
Yeah.
I'm coordinating some of this music online with my guys. Hold on a second. I was just reaching out to you guys to make sure they made the interview. I forgot to ask them, so when you came up on my screen, I just saw the number and gave you a call real quick. Hold on. Just letting them know I'm going to do this quick interview. Hold on. All right, brother. Cool, man. So who am I talking to?
I'm Havoc, the host of the show. Then we got the co-host, Ghetto G, and then
yes,
we got Cacklebox.
And who?
Cacklebox.
Cacklebox?
Yes, sir.
That's cool. Obviously, it's Juggalo Rider Radio. Somebody is a Juggalo for sure, ICP.
Whoop.
Yeah, that'd be all of us.
Cool. My wife is
a listener that called in and has been on the phone since.
Oh, you are. Yeah. My wife is a juggalette, guys, for sure, straight up.
Hell yeah.
Well, then we'll to her, too.
She has been, man, since I've known her, and we met in 97, so yeah, she's down with that. Yeah, man, ask away.
All right. Well, then my first question, if nobody else has any, is why did you leave after Through the Eyes?
Oh, man, you want to get deep here? I mean,
if you don't want to get too deep, don't answer it, but you can just say
no,
personal.
No, it's cool, man. No, we were in New York City recording Endangered Species. We did pre-production in Atlanta at Tree Sound Studios, and then we made our way to New York to track. And I guess about 9 days into the tracking, I just left, but there were so many emotions going on, and after Jay had left the band, or, you know, and everything that had happened prior to that, internally things just were, I can't go into much detail, it was kind of bad, you know, but things were internally falling apart, you know. It felt like the ship was sinking, so to speak, you know.
Yeah.
And I had personally just, I don't know, man, there was something in my body that just had had enough at that time. You know, I don't know what it was. I had just had enough. And ultimately, I made the decision. You know, nothing that we wanted for that recording worked out as far as where we wanted to record versus L.A. You know, they asked us all these things. Where do you want to record? And we said L.A. They sent us to New York. They put us all in one condo, and that was a bad idea at the time. When we had three condos tracking Through the Eyes at the Oakwoods and the Hollywood. But anyway, things just got really bad, man, and came to a head emotionally, you know. When you're out there, you know, you're walking around God and the devil all the time, man, and you never know who's nudging on your shoulder, you know. Things can be bad. But what we all realize now, it's so important to be more of a family and brothers more than you ever even think you are. You know, you've got to look out for each other. And I was just emotionally a wreck, man, personally, but I mean, I'll just leave it at that. And, you know, and even when I went home for those, I went home and I was ready to come back in 5 days, you know, and it seemed like I just needed to download for a minute, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe reboot, so to speak. See my wife, see my kids, and just kind of think about things, you know? Just needed a little bit of time. That's pretty much why I left. But, if this is your next question, I mean, yeah, I regretted it every day because I lost all of my equipment, you know, and certain things that happened that I regret. I mean, I regret it, but mainly for the guys and the situation, you know. I mean, I'm just glad that we're all finally, you know, getting the second opportunity, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man, definitely. My question for you, man.
There's a lot of other small reasons and things that go on. I mean, but you know, maybe one day that'll be in the VH1 story if there is one. You know, there's just a lot of stuff going on, man.
Don't look forward to VH1, man. Do it a personal DVD.
What's that?
I said, don't worry about VH1. Make it a personal DVD.
Yeah, you have
been on the radio, so I've established that I'm against all that shit, so don't mind me. I'm just
no, not at all. You know, we have Universal Records. We played some show out in the middle of, where were we at?
I think we might have been in Iowa, or we might have been in Denver. I don't know where we were at. We were out west somewhere, and we had the Universal came out and set up a crew and shot a live DVD of like one of our concerts. And we had a lot of awesome behind-the-scenes stuff that we've collected, and we don't know why, but the DVD never came out or never surfaced. And to this day, I'm wondering where that footage is. And I still stay in contact with Universal and Tom McKinnon. You bringing that up, I'd like to find out where it ever happened to that. I don't know if the audio was bad or if it just wasn't good, but we never shot another one. We're a band that needs a live DVD. Fans want it.
Maybe that's the DVD you were talking about, Evan.
Yeah, possibly, because I was looking up on the Fall Wikipedia, and I saw, I guess Chris Bowles mentioned that, by mid-2012, with the release of the fourth album and the EP, that I guess there's going to be a DVD release to follow with it.
You talking about with us?
Because I guess, he was trying to, rekindle the relationship with you guys to release, the fourth album and EP. There was supposed to be, a DVD to release with it by mid-2012.
Yeah, that was mentioned to us, but I don't know whatever came of that. As far as I know, nothing did. But when we met with management a month ago, and actually a DVD came up then, a live DVD. So I know it's gonna happen. I just don't know when. I know it's definitely gonna happen on the record. It has to. I don't know if it's gonna be a combo pack or something separate or something given away, but we'll see. I expect it to be good. We have a lot of footage. A lot of funny stuff. A lot of crazy funny stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, definitely, man.
All right, so my question for you, man, is who would you say is your main influence, one band, I mean, a few bands, that really made you decide, to get into music?
Damn. And I only picked one, right?
Well, you pick one, or as like many as you want.
Yeah, you're the only person in the band right now answering, so answer for yourself.
Well, let's see. I tell you what, guys. When I was 14 or 15 years old, one of my idols. He was my idol at the time. Somebody I looked up to. I watched this guy, and he was a performer, not only a drummer, but he was a great, great performer. And you might already have an idea of who I'm going to say, but it was Tommy Lee of Motley Crue. I loved Motley Crue, but I mean, I'm almost 40. I mean, I'm 38 years old, so, I was in high school in 89, 88, but shout out to Devil, man, that record, Motley Crue, shout out to Devil. That's when I bought a drum set and felt like, I wanted to be in this business, I want to be a rock star, quote unquote. I want to be a professional musician, I want to be on TV. I started having these dreams, but as a kid, I grew up listening to Journey and Boston and REO Speedwagon and all these great bands, Pink Floyd. But you didn't say drummers, right? You said the band that made me want to be that way?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to give that to Motley Crue, man. That was the band at the time that really did it for me at the time. Of course, there were many to follow, like Rush, and God, it was just so many bands, man. So many bands that I love and listened to and grew up to that influenced me, from death metal to rock on the main.
I'm going to have to jump in and say that, I hate to say it to you, I'm 20 years younger than you, but that it's
okay, yeah.
That Motley Crue was not only the first actual metal, I guess, quote-unquote, band that I listened to,
as a kid. I was brought up on Southern gospel and hillbilly shit, but Motley Crue was not only the first metal band I listened to, but the first time in my life I realized that I wanted to be a musician. So,
That's
cheers
cool, then.
To that.
Yeah, cheers, man. That's cool.
You know, the fact that you mentioned Motley Crue and Tommy Lee, you know, you guys, you know, actually performed in 2012. Well, not 2012, 2002, my bad.
What, you mean when we performed with Tommy Lee?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mount St. Helens, Oregon. And I'll never forget it, man. I met my idol that day. I cried. I'll admit it. I was playing Get Up Again, man. And we did a fly date that day, you know, where your tour bus can't get you there quick enough. You got to hop on a plane and rent a crew and rent your equipment. And so I had to rent a drum set, a rent a tech, and all this crazy stuff. But we're into the next to last song. We're playing Get Up Again off Through the Eyes, and I look over and see Tommy Lee with his arms crossed, rocking out to us, and I'm like, oh my God, there he is, you know. Just couldn't wait, man. So I get off stage, and you know, I'm out throwing my drumsticks out to the fans and giving some fives that I can reach, and the rest of the band's already over there with Tommy, man. And I get about 10 feet away from Tommy, and I hear Chris Bowles saying, man, like, our drummer loves you, man. You have no idea. And I just started crying, man. I was like, oh my God. I mean, I'm playing with my idol, you know, I'm playing a concert and meeting my idol, man. He gave me a hug and was like, man, it's cool. And all I said to him was,
completely overwhelming.
Yeah, I said, man, you don't understand. I said, you're the reason that I'm here, you know what I mean? It really was. I mean, it was no bullshit. He was the one I used to play air drums to before I ever had a kit, you know, twirling the sticks, just wanted to be like him, you know. I loved the way that he performed, you know. And then he asked us where we were from, if we were from Hollywood, and we said, no, we're from Kentucky. And then he invited me and Lance up to his house for a swim, man, and he gave me his phone number that day, man. I still got the piece of paper he wrote it on. You know, to me, that's like a treasure, you know?
Hell yeah, man. Definitely agree with that.
Again, I have to jump in. It's funny that you say that. Like, I play bass now, but I was originally learning to be a drummer, like trying to be one. And not only was it Motley Crue that inspired me, but I learned how to twirl the drumsticks just from Tommy Lee, like watching
him,
like, how the fuck does he do that? Like, that's actually crazy. A band that I look up to is actually influenced by the same bands that I am and learn the same shit, even though we don't play the same fucking instrument, but I don't say the bass is any different than the drums, just because I'm a fan of, like, Les Claypool. I mean, and he's influenced by drums, I'm influenced by drums, and that's what I listen to the record. So that's really cool to me, like that. That warms my heart, bro, like, for real.
And that really is the truth, man. I mean, I looked up to that guy, you know what I mean? I learned about, you know, I'm a hard hitter. You know, everybody says I'm a hard hitter. I hit the drums pretty hard, you know, and, I'm kind of a power hitter, but Tommy Lee was too, you know. I got that from him. He's a power hitter, and he's a performer, you know. And that whole show he does with his sticks and the twirls and pulling it behind his head, you know, I can do all that stuff, and I like twirling my sticks, but I've never... In the last 10 years when I did travel, I never did incorporate any of that, you know, not like him, but in my own way into the show. And I've realized now that I want to incorporate some of that stuff, you know, when it's cool, when it's needed, you know. I'm not going to sit there and constantly twirl my sticks, but I think that stuff's cool, man. That's part of performing, you know. I mean,
but yeah, if it's applied correctly, I mean, you do it all the time, and then you become just a showboat, and you're not.
Exactly. I'm usually too busy.
Like, holy fuck.
Yeah. Maybe do it once, you know, or do an homage to Tommy and pull it off in a couple bars. That would be kind of fun. But I'm usually very, very busy on the kit to even have time to do stuff like that, man. But either way, man, yeah, that's cool, you know. But after Tommy Lee and Motley Crue, man, I mean, my influences just grew and grew and grew, you know what I mean? And when I was 15, 16, I was still listening to 80s stuff and Ozzy, you know, was probably the heaviest I'd got, Metallica and Ozzy.
when I met Lance, you know, the guitar player for Flaw, I met him when I graduated high school. He was 16, I was 17, and I met him. He started playing me, you know, Megadeth, Rest in Peace, Obituary, you know. We were listening to Obituary, man. Fuck it. The Incomplete, and we were listening to Death, Individual Thought Patterns. I mean, albums like that, man. Those albums changed my life forever. You know, the heavier bands.
I do that because Death is the shit.
Yeah, Chuck Schuldiner is one of my idols, man. I mean, I still love Chuck Schuldiner. I still love Death. And Symbolic and Individual Thought Patterns are still two of my favorite records of all time. I mean, I love Death. I love the band Cynic. You know, that band Cynic is bad. I was listening to a lot of bands like that. You know, of course, Sepultura, you know. Not Soulfly, but Sepultura. That one was influenced by those guys.
Yeah. True Sepultura.
Oh, man. Yeah,
that's why I fell off when they split. It was like, Soulfly's cool. Sepultura's cool, but nothing beats true Sepultura.
No, man, not the real Sepultura, you know, like Arise was the first record I ever had by then. But hey, I wanted to go back about 10 seconds worth, but when I was a young kid in 1983, before I ever even thought about playing music, you know, when I was 15, I wanted to play drums, and I was watching Motley Crue play, but when I was a kid, I'm going to go ahead and put this out there because you asked that question. In 1983, my mom bought me and my brother two actual albums, but one of the bands, I used to see this band on MTV when I was a kid, and the way their videos inspired me, and I thought it was the coolest thing. I got the strangest feeling in the world when I watched these videos. And when I grew up and became a musician, I understood what that feeling was. It was that feeling of excitement, of enjoying, you know, performing and watching this band. But it was Def Leppard. It was Def Leppard, man, believe it or not, Pyromania. And I got to be truthful, man. Yeah. Those videos, like Fooling and Photograph. I mean, this is 83. I was nine years old, I guess. So
that's Jesus, dude, I wasn't even fucking born.
Yeah, well, that was one. Yeah, you're making me feel a little old, but it's all good. No, that was one of the bands that I remember seeing them on TV that really just kind of moved me. Like, dude, who are these British dudes? They're wicked, man. This awesome guitar playing, good drums. They play different, but anyway. I think with me and Lance alone, man, we listened to so many bands. I mean, in the 90s, there were so many bands from Alice in Chains to Sepultura to Dream Theater. I mean, Rage Against the Machine. Our influence was ran so deep, man. I mean, you know, what a great year. If you think about 1991, I graduated high school, and all the albums that came out.
It was an amazing fucking year for music.
Wasn't it? I mean, you got Ozzy, you know, Ozzy's album, was it No More Tears? I don't remember the actual album, but it was the No More Tears Tour, No More Tours Tour is what he called it, but Ozzy had his album out. You had Alice in Chains, Dirt. You had a Metallica, the Black album, Pearl Jam 10, Vulgar Display of Power by Pantera. Plus, the list goes on. Stone Temple Pilots.
I was 6 years old, and that was actually a huge impact in my life, just being introduced to metal for the first time. And I was in 91 to 93 was when I was introduced to the most of it. And everything you're saying is fucking... It was an epic fucking time. And
it was epic. You saying that, it was epic, man.
I mean, Rock and Roll was number one then, when Guns N' Roses had their own fucking plane. Nowadays, rock musicians, they're played on the radio, and they get a cool-ass tour bus, but they don't get shit. You know, it's left for the illiterate. And
yeah.
Nobody plays from their fucking heart.
A lot of them don't. I think we do. I believe that we do, but I know what you're coming from.
I'm not saying nobody does, but
no,
for sure, the good chunk of, like, the popular music, nobody does.
If you
can wipe your own ass, you have a fucking record label nowadays. If you play from your heart, you are going to fight and die trying to get a fucking label nowadays, and it's ridiculous. I don't know, what's crazy to me is how rock and roll used to have, I mean, Pearl Jam 10, Alice in Chains Dirt or any Alice in Chains, any Pearl Jam, anything that you've mentioned, all had
Tool. Yeah, Tool, Anima.
Oh, dude, you don't even talk to me about Tool. I'm so obsessed with fucking Tool. But
Anima is a record that changed my life too. You know, but anyway.
Very much so. But nowadays, nothing is like that. Back then, everything was actually blues influenced. You go back to fucking Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin, and you can hear the blues in it. Nowadays, you play B.B. King in a fucking bar or a club, and everybody's like, what the fuck is that, dog?
Yeah.
Real music?
Sorry. I mean, David Gilmour is my number one. He's on my list of top five favorite guitar players in the world. I mean, David Gilmour.
Fuck yeah.
I'm sorry. You brought up Pink Floyd. That's why I was thinking about that.
It's all good, man.
That's my group, man. It's the therapy. Music is therapy to me, man. Sometimes I have to listen and cry and go through it and remember. And it's linked
man,
to everything in our
life. I have Hound Dog again, unfortunately, but out of in every show I've gone to, I've met everybody that has played. Like, I that's just what I do. I go see the show, I hang out with people afterwards. I've never seen Flaw play. I've never met you or anybody else in Flaw.
Right.
To me, this conversation is the most inspirational, coolest fucking conversation I've ever fucking had, hands fucking down. And it means a fucking lot to me, especially as a musician trying to get a band going and up off the ground. It's very inspirational and very influential, dude. It means a fucking lot to me. This is fucking awesome. I'm glad as fuck that you called in, bro.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm glad you guys had me on, man. I appreciate it, too, and it really does mean a lot, man. I mean, the whole Flaw story is a wild story. I mean, you know, half of the band was actually in a different band. I don't know if any of you guys know this story, but, you know, me and the guy with the dreads, Lance, we were in another band called Shapeless Matrix in the 90s. And Flaw came from Cincinnati to Louisville in, like, 97, and we were all playing, like, same shows together, playing against each other and battle the bands. And
I actually know that.
Yeah, we came up together, you know, and them losing a – They went through a few musicians from the town, drummer, bass players, and we lost an amazing, amazing bass player in our band, Shapeless Matrix. You know, we were all like Dream Theater, crazy. He was a Geddy Lee. He was an amazing bass player, but we couldn't replace the guy, you know. And all of us being good friends, I got the call one day, and they were like, hey, you know, why don't you just come play with us, you know, and why don't we do that? And I was like, well, you know, I already knew. I already wanted to do it. I thought about it because I knew how good of a singer Chris was. And I was like, well, I said, I'll only do it if, we got to bring Lance along, you know. And they were like, well, that's what we want. That was February of 2000. And, you know, we were all seasoned, so to speak. We all knew what we wanted. So from that day on, right there, in February of 2000, we knew what was going to happen. And I'm not just saying that because it did happen. We knew what we were capable of with our music and Chris on the vocals and what was going to happen. And it just felt it. We felt it. And, I mean, this is February of 2000. In November, we were sitting in Universal Records. I mean, you know, we were freaked out. Like, whoa, this is really happening. But that's what we wanted. You know, a lot of bands say we weren't trying to get signed or it just happened. I mean, for us, that's what we wanted. I mean, we wanted it. We worked for it. We wanted to be, you know, professional musicians or people say rock star, they can call it what they want, but we wanted to be, you know, we wanted to be there, man. We wanted to be at the label. We wanted to be on stage. We wanted our albums in every store as possible. It happened, man. I still can't believe it happened sometimes, you know, but we're still just normal people with problems, man, you know, truly. Just like you guys, man. That's a fact.
And I do have to apologize to Havoc and everybody. I don't mean to bust in with this whole conversation during the entire interview.
Who is this? Is this the kid that called in?
Yeah, I'm just the guy that called in.
What's your name, man?
Tacklebox.
Oh, you're Tacklebox?
Yes, sir.
Cool, man. They just call me Ballinger. You can call me Ballinger if you want. It's my last name because there's two Chris's in the band. Obviously, you guys know that.
Yep.
Well, fun, man.
I just called Tackle Box because I fell face first into the tackle box.
That's cool. But, you know, it feels good to be talking to people again and getting this thing going again. I'll tell you that most of all, man. I've been craving for this to happen for the last 3 years, man, just hoping it was going to start, and it finally did. So
here we go. Once for the past 2 years, I've been listening to nothing but Through the Eyes, and I've just picked up the bass again in the last. I haven't touched the bass for 4 or 5 years, and just picked it up. And the first record I actually put on was Through the Eyes, just trying to figure out the bass lines, and figure out.
Ryan's good, man. He does some crafty stuff in there. I don't want you guys to hang up and say, oh, man, I forgot to ask him about. Do you guys have any album questions off of Through the Eyes? If you do.
Actually, yeah. I actually do have a question. I actually do have a question, man. My question for you, man. What track off of Through the Eyes would you say, you know, is your favorite track, and which track would you say has the most meaning to you?
Good question.
Which track is my favorite and has the most meaning to me?
Yeah.
Oh man, it's not a tough one. It's a close call with a couple of songs. I would say. What I Have to Do.
Ooh, good one.
I mean, believe it or not, I mean, it's, I don't know, What I Have to Do and Best I Am come in a close second. When that's more on the meaning side of it, you know, because it's about our family and our children. And but What I Have to Do probably, what I would have to say, is number one for me. I couldn't really speak for the band, but I would have to say for me, it's What I Have to Do. But, I mean, I love that track, you know. I love the way it came about. I love the lyrics. I love the feeling. And the meaning in it is great, you know.
Well, I will say, the caller, that and My Letter. Actually,
yeah, I love
you. Make me fucking tear up, like, as a man.
Yeah, I mean, My Letter.
It is a serious fucking thing, and it was a huge part of my life at the time. And even now, listening to it, it's like, fuck, man.
My Letter is a great song. You know, I have a 12-year-old that has autism, and he comes up to me and sings that song to me, you know, when he's playing it on his phone. And it's amazing to watch my son sing that, and he loves that song so much. I mean, that's one of my favorite songs on the entire record. That was supposed to be the third single, you know, and it never happened.
Yeah, I definitely love that song too.
You know, I don't know if I should talk about this or not. I guess legally I can talk about this. I guess it's not that big a deal. But we even spoke about re-releasing My Letter to put it out with a different label, so we could try to make it a single. But due to certain legal issues and things with Universal, we didn't do it with them, of course. But there was talk of re-releasing My Letter, but I'm not sure what's going to come out of that. But yeah, it is a great song. Great song.
That and like you said, Best That I Am, or definitely a good song too.
Yeah, definitely.
Actually, for those who don't know, My Letter is actually a revised version of Anorexia from American Arrogance.
You know your information.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, those things there. What you just said, what you just said is, that's what happened when me and Lance came into the Flaw picture. We kind of brought, you know, that side to the band. You know, the Pink Floyd swells, the different ideas. But yeah, I mean, you think about that song being Anorexia, which pretty much says, "You fucking make me sick," you know. You fucking make me sick, bitch. And then it becoming My Letter. I mean, we totally revised that song and made it great, man. I mean, I love
what
came out of it.
It still had the same impact. It still had the same part, the same power that it had.
Yeah, I mean, Hope You're All Right. It's been rough for me. You know, it's just thinking all night about the places I've been. It's just,
those lyrics in that song, man, it says everything about being out on the road, and you know, there's a lot of meaning in those songs. Best I Am, I mean, every time we start Best I Am on stage, which we didn't always get to play it live, it depended on what festival or what tour we were on. We would play it sometimes, but for me, it was always my kids and my wife is what I saw and felt every time I played that track. What I Have to Do was just, for me, that was the song that just, you know, solidified everything about what I was doing out there and why I had to do it. And, you know, you're gone for so long, you miss your kids, your family, you don't get to see anybody, but I'll do what I have to do, you know, I mean, it's what I love to do. I mean, there's so many, I don't want to say analogy, there's so much meaning in that song. I love that song, man. But, you know, for everybody in the band, if they don't admit it, I can admit it, that, you know, and through the eyes, we all do say it's a great album. We know it's a great album. It's a front to back, you know, but there was a few years that I couldn't listen to the record, of course, personally, because it hurt, you know. When you have something that powerful and you're touring and everything's going, and then when it just suddenly stops, for a while it was very hard. But early last year, I started putting in Through the Eyes, and I was listening to that album front to back, over and over and over, and enjoyed every bit of it. I love that record. I'm so proud of that record. So proud of it. That's all I was going to say about that, but I just thought I'd say it quick.
I'll agree with the Through the Eyes, because I've bounced off from a lot of records I've listened to is a Jet and all that shit, but even coming back now, like, I can't listen to Through the Eyes until I started at one and just finish it, because it is a powerful record. It's got a lot going on in it, and every bit of it is emotion. I mean, I love all the Flaw records, but nothing beats Through the Eyes to me personally, just because every bit of it sends me straight back.
That's a fact, and everybody in the band knows that. You know, there's no question. You know, there's never a debate about that. It's just everybody knows that that's a fact. The management, the fans, it's never even been in question. You know, Through the Eyes, but just, you know, we hit a home run with that. It's just that what we realized we did was we put, you know, you write songs for 10 years. I mean, you know, you get signed to a deal and you want to put out your best songs. You know, that really could have been two albums, you know. We should have saved some of those heavy-hitting songs for maybe the next record, you know. That's what
for
we
sure.
debated.
I'll agree with that, because Endangered Species to me was honestly my least favorite record, and it wasn't anything against Flaw. It just compared to the impact Through the Eyes made to me in my personal life.
It didn't even stand next to it.
Couldn't be top at all. I mean, yeah, like Wait For Me, yeah, that song makes me tear up, because at the time I was dealing with breaking up with my fiance at the time. So that was a big song, but nothing on that album really impacted me. Going back on it now, yes. You know, the Medicated and all that. Yeah, it impacts me, but nothing like Through the Eyes.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. You know, and that's our challenge right now, and we're taking the challenge head on, is to, you know, the fans want another Through the Eyes, you know, or better. You know, and we feel like we're giving them that, you know. It sounds like it, you know, I mean. But, I mean, what I don't know what the end... You know, as far as in comparison to Through the Eyes, I don't know what it's going to be compared as. I'm in the band, so I'm hoping, you know, you guys are definitely going to let us know. So,
well, as a fellow musician, I mean, yeah, you can't really give a fuck about what people think about it as far as your personal emotions go that are put into the record. I mean, yeah, you got to think about the fans, but I mean, it's. To me, as long as that emotion is there, the same power, feeling is, fuck everything else, fuck what anybody else thinks. As far as if the emotion's there, it's there, and it'll be as great of a record.
It's good that you pointed that out, because you saying that, you know, has reminded me to say that that's the best part about the last 6 weeks, is that every time that we showed up for rehearsal, that emotion was there again. And I'm speaking honestly, not just saying that, you know, because that was my worry, you know, and our concern is, you know, you want to, the first day that we rehearsed, everybody was smiling, you know, and then the second time we rehearsed, you know, Lance got chills, he told me, on a song. It's like, that's, you know, the emotion and the feeling, what is there, it is there. And we're all getting chills when we're playing the songs we're writing. I mean, that's what it's, you know, it's, that's what it's supposed to be like, you know. We're like, whoa, man, whoa, that felt great. Nothing has been just okay. It's all been great, man. And that feeling is there. It feels like it did 10 years ago.
I mean, you look at bands that are going on now that, you know, the first record, you could feel chills. The second record, you can, you know, some songs are hit and miss, and then third on, it's kind of shit, and they keep on going with it. But there's some bands that come back from that, there's some bands that don't ever show the fuck back up. But, like, we just played a show with Endo, the band from 2001.
Yeah, I know that band.
And they're... second record to me was the greatest, and then they did a couple recordings that was kind of, you know, okay. And when they played the show with us, it was nothing but new stuff, and it was like, holy shit, Endo's back. And
okay.
However y'all turn out, you know, yeah, I'll buy the record, I'll listen to it, but I'd love to see that. I mean, if all of y'all, everyone in the band, the hair stands up, play a song, you know, that to me right there is, I'm sold.
It's going to be good, man, and it is, it already is. I mean, we're still in pre-production and we're all getting chills, you know. It's like, whoa, you know, we're all really, really excited, you know.
Well, and
man,
I can't wait to hear the fucking record once it's done. I will be the first to buy, for sure.
This is everything. Our careers, you know, are on the line, and our families' lives. I mean, I've had the worst 2 years of my life, man. Financially, man, I almost lost everything. Pretty much did, you know. I've been a broken soul without playing. You know, music's my life. I feel like a thoroughbred racehorse tied up in a barn, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm an artist, I paint, I tattoo, and I'm a musician, and to me, it's something I can give at some point or another. I mean, I've got two kids and a wife, and luckily the wife makes enough money that, and I hate to say it, but she supports me. I mean, and she's cool with it, because I watch the kids, but at the same time, I feel like, you know, something has to fucking get. And I think the biggest thing with me is I'm one of those, I just don't feel enough or have enough confidence in myself, I guess you could say.
Right.
But that's one, what I'm trying to overcome, man.
You mean about accepting the role as just being the father right now, or just the fact that
I want to make a living at what I love doing, and
right.
Unfortunately, what I love doing out of painting, drawing, music, tattooing, nothing's making fucking money.
Right.
But I'm one of those that I will die before I say, you know what, the day I say I give up on it all is the day my body just shuts down. I'm pretty young, I'm 28, but at the same fucking time, man, I've grown up and my music style changed. I mean, as a kid, yeah, I listened to Flaw, but I was more into the Moo Bourguier. I was into Dying Fetus and Cannibal Corpse. Now
yeah.
I'm into Primus, Tool, Porky Pine Tree, Louis Armstrong, Buddy Holly. Oh, dude.
You like Band of Horses?
Yes. Dude, my biggest kick right now is 30s and 40s jazz. Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington, I can't get fucking enough of. And just trying to find cheap music for them and trying to learn not only bass clef and treble clef for them is driving me fucking nuts. But at the same time, at band practice, they're like, dude, you listen to so much shit, you try to read every fucking book there is on it. You try to learn all this. Why don't you apply it? Do this, do that. And it's like, I don't know, man.
You got four good things that you love to do. You say you tattoo, you draw, you play music. And what else was there?
Painting, sculpting. Dude, I'm an artist all around. Any form of art. To me, an artist should be a Renaissance man.
Well, maybe one of those really stands out more than the others, man. Maybe that'll be your niche.
Well, what's strange to me with that is I started off as I just wanted to be a musician, and our band broke up, the drugs, alcohol, all that shit, and then I just dove straight into art and tattooing. Like, I lost friends, relationships, all sorts of shit due to that, and then I got the opportunity to start a band. Got in the band. We recently broke up, but I was actually pulled into another band that is actually better and everything else like that. And to me, it's a fighting battle of, well, yeah, people are asking for tattoos and this stuff, and yeah, I'm willing to give it because I love that. That's what I dedicated my life to. But at the same time, I've got this calling.
Well, just keep going, man. I mean, I just realized 2 weeks ago that I'm still chasing a dream now for 25 years. That kind of hit me hard the other day. Like, whoa, man, I'm still chasing my dreams in 25 years. In 24, I'm like, damn. Seems crazy sometimes. But don't give up on your dream, man. Just keep chasing it. I mean, that's my advice. Don't necessarily take it, but. You know, you give up a lot chasing your dream. Sometimes you gain so much more, though. So, well, look, man, where's Havoc? Where's the guys at? Everybody still there?
Yeah, we're still here. We were just letting you guys talk.
Oh, you're cool, man. Shit, I don't want to take up too much time. How'd the interview go, guys? Who all was on the phone?
In about 15 minutes, this thing's going to be kicking us off anyway soon here. But,
who all did you have on the interview? Lance and Jay first?
Jay, Lance, Ryan, I think.
Yeah, Ryan, our bass player, yeah, okay. Yeah, they were laying guitar tracks in the studio, so I figured that's who would have been on there. With that previous trouble of not getting online, I just came on. That's when I saw your number. I thought I'd give you guys a call, see if the interview went good, and they made it on. So that's good. I'm glad it happened, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was definitely dope. I mean, unfortunately, around 12 o'clock, I ended up running out of questions. And again, like I said, they ended up having, And of course, I know, you guys are busy with the album and everything, too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we're a little busy right now. The next couple of weeks is going to be a little lighter on us, but did you set up or you need to, get with one of us and set up another interview for some, so we can keep you infoed, when things keep happening, if you want to do that.
Yeah, definitely let us know.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Because there's talks of us going out and doing some shows, too. I'm sure you guys might want to hear about that. Some really big shows.
Well, I hope you guys come to Pittsburgh.
Well, I do too. We're talking about hopping on a really big tour with a couple of really, really big bands, and it'll depend on their schedule, of course. But when we headline, we always come up to Pittsburgh. We're always up
there. Hell yeah.
We're always in Pennsylvania, period, man. We got a lot of friends up in Pennsylvania, man.
Well, look forward to seeing you guys then.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. That's the best thing. I can't wait for us to get out and see everybody again, man, you know? To walk out on stage and hear the crowd and perform and then see all our old friends, man. That whole connection you make with the fans who become your friends. There's about 6 to 7 fans that were fans of mine that literally are best friends to me now. You know? I mean, I consider them best friends. You know, three really close, you know, really close friends, man. And I can't wait to see everybody again, man. I miss that just as bad as I miss playing, just as much as I miss playing.
Well, I mean, if you guys ever head up to Canada for a show, there's actually a band up there that way. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them, but they go by the name of Dead Celebrity Status. Dead Celebrity Status.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I've heard of them, but are you saying if we need an opening act?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, definitely. I'll need to keep in touch with you on that, then. Depending on if we're headlining and what the show is would depend on that as well, you know. And there's a lot of times our booking company would book us the show, you know, and, like, our booking company will book us the show up there, but then they'll tell the club owner to get 3 opening acts locally, you know.
Yep.
So make sure that they stay in touch with the owner of the club and find out who the opening acts are, you know. Because even when a band goes on tour, you guys know there's always a few local opening acts or acts from around the region, whatever, you know, that are opening the show.
Yeah, because, you know, like, these guys have, you know, like, have worked with, like, you know, with, like, a lot of artists and bands. Like, they worked with, like, the likes of Dave Navarro. They were part of the 2006 North America Warped Tour. They were opening acts for Tech N9ne, of course, as well.
Oh, well, they've already put in their work then.
Yeah, they have, man. They're really good, and they're definitely like really down to earth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Well, maybe we'll end up playing with them anyway. Then, if they're already doing that, if we come that way, it sounds like hell. We might be playing with them. We might be opening for them. You never know. they might already be on the bill. Who knows? You know.
But definitely, man. Like I said, I mean, you know, they're definitely really cool guys. I mean, I could definitely send you send Yaz your way. Like Yaz is actually one of the members of Dead Celebrity Status. So like, if you want, I could definitely send him your way.
Yeah, man, you should do that. You know, let him know that. Let them know through me, the drummer, Flo, just say we'd love to play with them, you know. Heard a lot about you. I mean, I've only heard what you just told me, but, I mean, yeah, I trust you guys. Shit. That sounds great. It's time to start meeting new bands and stuff, you know.
Yeah, definitely, man.
What I can do is, through the chain of command, I'll just put out a request. You know, hey, there's this band, these guys, and I want to see about them opening the show, you know, when we get up that way, and then the booking company will take it over from there, and then the club owner, and so on and so forth. So, the guys just need to make sure they know when the show's coming, and talk to the owner or the booking company. Because sometimes it's out of our hands, you know.
Yeah, definitely, man.
When we go out on a tour and we take bands with us, there's always bands that play there from that city. So, but I mean, from what it sounds like, those guys should have no problem getting on the bill. So, and it sounds like fun too. So.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, their style of music is probably actually probably a little bit different from what you guys are used to performing with. But
right.
The genres they fall under alternative hip hop, rap rock and stuff like that. Because the way they do it, they combine rock.
Kind of like
Hollywood Undead or like Limp Bizkit, Radiohead.
Well, yeah, like in a way, kind of like Hollywood Undead or like old school Limp Bizkit
in a way.
Right.
that's kind of cool, actually, man. I mean, we got a little bit of rapping going on in some of our songs. I'm sure you've heard that. Not really rap, but kind of. You know, we're spitting it, so to speak. Bowles gets crazy in some of our songs, and a lot of it was rap. Whoever mentioned the white paper CD earlier, the Anorexia, you know, there's a lot of rapping on that CD.
Yeah, that was to me that mentioned that one. So I'll definitely send them your way.
Yeah, please do that, man. Please do that. Tell them to get a hold of us on Facebook, you know, or anything. Just reach us individually or, you know, hit me up, Chris Ballinger, or just reach the band. You know, just say, hey, this is the guys, you know, and we spoke on the interview and just send them our way. What's the guy's name again, you said?
His name is Yaz. Y-A-S.
Right, Y-A-S. I knew somebody by the name of Yaz years ago. It's kind of wild. Not the same guy, obviously. Yeah, I knew Yaz years ago. It's crazy.
Well, man, I appreciate you, since I have Jay already on my friend list, I can send him the way of Jay if you want.
What, the band?
Yeah, because since I already have Jay added to my Facebook, I could just hit him up if that works a little bit easier for you guys too.
You can do that. Jay's really not interested in those things right now. Just being honest about Jay, he's not really too interested in, you know, like what bands we're going to open up for or anything like that right now. He might eventually get to it, but I'll tell you what. Go ahead and send it to him, and when I get up to rehearsal tomorrow, I'll check it out and make sure you get it, or next week or whenever. I'll make sure and ask him and make sure he opens it up, you know.
Okay, yeah, definitely. That definitely works.
Yeah, just do that. Yeah, Jay's my boy. I love him. I'm just telling you how it is. He's just not really interested in things like that right now, you know.
Yeah,
he's not really the one who sits down and like, hey, check out this band, man. These guys are good, you know. Or, you know, he appreciates it, but his head's in this recording so much, that's all he cares about right now. But, yeah, man, send it to Jay, and I'll open it up, and I'll show Lance, man, mainly, and be like, hey, you know, when we head it that way, maybe these guys will play with us. But
yeah, it sounds good.
I want to check out some of their music, too, online, you know.
Yeah, just look up Dead Celebrity Status. I mean, like I said, their music is like really good, and it's like a combination of Hollywood Undead and like old school Limp Bizkit in a way.
That's kind of cool. I'll be wanting to check that out. They got DJ in the band, or they just guitar, bass, and drums, vocals.
They do have a DJ. I mean, like you got like DJ Dopey, I guess is his name. I haven't really gotten a chance, you know, to talk to him much.
No, that's cool. But, I was just wondering if they have one in general. You know, a lot of those guys do. That's cool.
Yeah.
You want to get those 808 hits out there somewhere, man. But anyway, man, we're looking forward, man, to getting this album out, man. So we can't wait. And I appreciate you guys' time. Appreciate you guys' time, man.
Anytime, man, and definitely good luck with the album, man.
Thanks a lot, man. When are you guys always on? I might call in from time to time and say what's up.
We're live every night from 11 p.m. Eastern to 1 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. This number here, you can call anytime?
Of course, definitely, man.
Well, good, man. That's what I'll do. I'll reach out to you guys from time to time. Say what's up. Just kind of give you some info, let you know what's going on, say what's up.
Hell yeah, and we're actually about to get kicked off here in about 4 minutes here, actually.
Okay, man. Well, look, I really appreciate it again.
Anytime, we appreciate you stopping by.
What's that?
Said we appreciate you stopping by.
Oh, yeah, man. Thank you guys so much. You guys are really cool, man. It was nice talking to you, man, and, you know, keep us in your prayers, man. It's going to happen.
We definitely will, man.
Yeah, God bless you guys, man. Make it home safe, man. The world's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know, man. All right, you guys look out for each other, man. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right, man. Woo-woo.
All right, man. God bless and peace.
Peace.
All right, good night.
Later.
That was dope. I like one of.
That was definitely dope.
Is Tackle Box still here?
No, Tackle Box left. Because apparently he said
he was cut off. So I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, it was pretty cool that he actually decided to call in right there.
Yeah, it's funny how it's just kind of funny like how he called in like within the last minute of the show.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering how he even got on.
But this is what the kick is off here. We'll be back. All right,
peace.